quote the late, great Mets broadcaster Ralph Kiner, it is Father's Day, and to all your fathers out there, happy birthday. I'm a Mets fan, so a famous misspeak by Ralph Kiner, who had a lot of those. James Corden said Rudy Giuliani is firing back on reports from the January 6th hearings that he was drunk on election night. Rudy tweeted, I refused all alcohol that evening. My favorite drink, Diet Pepsi, Corden said. So to be clear, Rudy's defense is that he gave the dumbest, most unethical advice in the history of America while stone cold sober. Colbert, it can be very hard to tell because sometimes he's drunk and sometimes he's pretending he's not. Corden, what an endorsement this is. You know, the people at Pepsi were like, he must mean Diet Coke. He means Coke, right? Coke, any brand of cola, really. RC Cola, Shasta, maybe a generic grocery store brand cola. Colbert, I love Diet Pepsi, especially a robust red Diet Pepsi, or in the summer, a Diet Pepsi Rosé. I also enjoy boxed Diet Pepsi. Cinema Blend wrote about The Office, and they said Creed Bratton played a fictionalized version of himself on The Office. Yes, we know that. And while the character was well-liked, some fans believe that Creed is actually the Scranton Strangler. Oh my. It appears that actor Creed Bratton might believe the theory. He posted a TikTok that suggested that he indeed is the true Scranton Strangler. Recently on CNN, Bratton talked about his time on the show and he said, they got the wrong guy. Whether he was hinting at his character being the actual killer or just joking is up for fans to decide. Now, I think this is how we do the Office reboot. You go dark and you make like a CSI Scranton and they track down the Scranton Strangler. By the way, random, my cadence there just reminded me of Norm MacDonald. I went down a rabbit hole on YouTube the other day. I got to find the name of this video for you. Here, let me see if I can pull it up. It was so funny. Hold on. Okay, this video is called It's Probably the OJ Jokes. It's 34 minutes of Norm MacDonald at the SNL news desk doing OJ jokes. And I watched about 10 minutes of it and I was loving it. I just couldn't do 34 minutes in a row. I'm totally going to go back to it. But it just, no matter what the joke was, he would go back to OJ. There was one that was Prince Charles has a new memoir. It's called OJ is a Murderer. And every joke was kind of like in that style. Very, very funny. Check that out. Where were we? Oh, I was making CSI Scranton. That's what I was doing. Some people think the Scranton Strangler was Toby. Paul Lieberstein, who played Toby, went on to clarify a detail about the Scranton Strangler that might have been lost on some fans. Paul said, it was never quite mentioned that the Scranton Strangler wasn't a murderer. He would strangle you until you passed out. Lieberstein told PopCulture.com it would be really fun if he got the opportunity to do a spinoff series either about the Scranton Strangler or just about Toby's post-Dunder Mifflin life. Lieberstein has an idea what that looks like. Toby found himself another little HR gig where probably nothing lasted quite as long, maybe bouncing from job to job. I'd watch. The LA Times talked to Tom Segura. We're going to have a lot of Tom Segura in the next few days because he's out hawking a new book. They asked him about cancel culture. Segura said, I don't know if you felt it, but I feel like the tide is shifting. Not everyone's in, but people are figuring out that you don't have to pay attention to certain stuff. You can completely disregard a lot of the blowback of people being upset. You just keep saying what you want to say and keep going while ignoring the rest of that noise. In my book, I had to preface it by saying I'm being serious so people know. I've always liked being around any artist, whether they're literal painters, actors, or writers. I always try to encourage them because I think the arts are so important and I love consuming art. Sometimes when you're like, why am I doing this? Nobody cares. I've been there in a basement. I digress. Hearing something or reading something when you're in those times can be a boost, so I just encourage people to keep going and say, hey, Johnny Mac, I love the podcast on the Daily Comedy News Facebook group. I hear you, Tom Segura. The LA Times said, hey, you mentioned on your podcast that you're shooting some shorts. Are they based on chapters in the book? Segura said, they're not. I wrote these shorts, and what I ended up doing was shooting three of them, so now I'm making my own episode of television. I spent an effing fortune doing it, an absolutely insane amount of money. I did it because I wanted to make it. It's cool to me. It's a huge undertaking when doing it on your own. I think it'll be done late summer, early fall. Then I'll be looking to put it out some way in October. Cat Williams was on Vulture's Good One podcast. The question, do you have any advice for a person who wants to try comedy? Cat said, yeah. No one pays you other than the audience. That's your allegiance. If you're funny and the audience has told you that you are funny, you find out what it is that they think is funny about you and you service them to the best of your ability. If a joke may not be funny, try it anyway. If it's not funny enough, make it funny enough. You're writing these jokes. If you're at a point going, okay, bam, funny, and you're stopping, you're the creator. You're supposed to stop at that punchline. Then go further. Try to figure it out. Now, if a person hears this, how would they take it? Okay, well, a smart person hears it, what would they say? What if a racist heard it? What would they say? This is part of your own quality control that they don't tell you as a comedian. You are your product. So if you focus on your customer and your product, even when you fail, you'll fail spectacularly. You'll be number three in the country, and you'll do better next time. But you want to be a champion no matter what the score is, if possible. That's my advice. Judd Apatow was waxing poetic about George Carlin. George having a little renaissance here in 2022. I love it. Judd said, for the most part, Carlin didn't do jokes about what happened that day in politics. He tried to talk about the big picture. I think that's why the material holds up. He talks about the root of what's wrong in the country and what's wrong with how people behave. He was talking about the environment in the late 60s in a way that people are just beginning to now. And he was very aware of the problem of the danger to a woman's right to choose. I think that's why his material holds up, as opposed to a lot of comedians whose material ages out. Apatow notes that when the U.S. Supreme Court draft opinion reversing Roe v. Wade was leaked recently, commentators immediately revisited a Carlin bit from years earlier. In an HBO special, Carlin had said, boy, these conservatives are really something, aren't they? They're all in favor of the unborn. They'll do anything for the unborn, but once you're born, you're on your own. Pro-life conservatives are obsessed with the fetus from conception and 9 months. After that, they don't want to know about you. Apatow says, everyone turned to George Carlin for what he said about it. I was fascinated by the fact that there wasn't a routine from another comedian that went around. It wasn't just that George Carlin had a piece that summed up a lot of what we're all thinking. It was that no one else has a competitive piece. He was just on a completely different level. Jokes for Our Folks is a benefit that will affect those affected by the mass shooting in Buffalo. This will be in Buffalo on June 28th. It's a good lineup, too. Cedric the Entertainer, Earthquake, Don DC Curry, and Aida Rodriguez. The LA Times gathered some stars of recent TV shows, including Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key, who said Brigadoon was about these two guys that find this magical place that only appears every 100 years. Show co-creator Cinco Paul turned the concept into a couple who was on the rocks in their relationship, and then they find this place and they can't leave until they find what true love is. He did such a wonderful balancing act of creating a show that had a character at its core who gets to comment on everything that's happening, but not in an ironic meta way. He's just trying to figure out what the hell's going on. It's like for anybody who doesn't like musicals. Schmigadoon's a good show. You should watch that. Natasha Lyonne talked about Russian Doll. She said, I do sometimes think of it as a musical in the way that Bob Fosse's All That Jazz is a big touch point for the inception of the show. And weirdly, we use music, especially in the edit. And it's very satisfying to lay the songs over because they kind of create the rhythm of the show correctly so that you have time to process some of the more high concept events that are happening. I describe it to a stranger out there all alone in the desert, wondering why they're stranded with a volleyball and Russian Doll as sort of a metaphysical, existential, sort of psychedelic adventure type show. It's pretty out there. Craig Robinson talked about Killing It, which is about a guy who's broke, then decides to enter a contest sponsored by the state of Florida. Craig said, it's a real thing in Florida where they hire people or have snake hunters because the state was so overrun with snakes. People back in the day got them as pets, then they let them out in the wild and they got too big and nothing eats the snakes, but they eat everything. So now Florida's overrun. So we talked about doing this. They're like, you all right with snakes? And I was like, yeah, I'm cool with snakes. I did handle some, and I'm supposed to say that the American Humane Society was there every time. We had three kinds of snakes. You got the CGI and you got a fake snake that you're working with, and then you had some real snakes, bunch of them, all moving around. The LA Times said, as comedy actors and comedians, do you intrinsically know when a series or film is funny? Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key said, it becomes an intellectual exercise. A person watching can go, ah, I never thought of that that way. But there are two different qualities. There's, huh, ah, that was clever. And then there's, ha, 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 right? Then there's this interesting spectrum, and I think every part of the spectrum has validity. It's not that it's not funny, but it's interesting to me. It's a fascinating discussion to have. From RIA Intel, your home for comedy news, they talked about comedians in finance. Apparently, it was finance night at the Gotham Comedy Club. Meghna Shah, who's a director at an accounting and management consulting firm, got up and was like, hi, people working in finance, or those trying to sleep with people in finance. Not bad. The audience was a mix of hip millennials chewing on buffalo wings, finance bros who more than met the two-drink minimum, and sheepish silver-haired couples. Say that three times, I did. You missed the edit there. To laugh about second homes, inflation, and crypto. The Manhattan Comedy School put on the night. Annie Engel said, we get hundreds of professionals who are never going to quit their day jobs, but understand that stand-up comedy is the ultimate must-have skill for anyone in business today. Shaw said, Reddit and the meme community are hilarious and know how to take a joke. That proves we're self-aware enough to laugh at ourselves. We need more of that. Sarah Schultz said, I do stand-up comedy because I need a juxtaposition with the finance world where it's so structured. My 8-to-6 job is quite buttoned up and serious. K. Accountants don't tell a lot of jokes usually, so in the evenings, I get to go out and use my voice and play and say things that I'm not allowed to say during my workday. And you know who else is getting into comedy? Doja Cat. Sure, why not? Doja Cat spoke to Elle Magazine and said, "My one hidden passion is stand-up. I get nervous just like anyone else, but it feels like it could be a natural, fun thing to do." Enjoy your Father's Day. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. Become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts, $5 a month. I keep forgetting to tell you, the first month's free, so you could try this out and be like, oh, I like that. Or you can go like, nah, that sucks, and go back to listening this way. I'm not the least bit offended, but if you try that out, $5 a month gets you early releases, and those releases are commercial-free. Or you can buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.